Stand up. They hit the field, line up for the kickoff. It's football time in Tennessee.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Don't forget, today is the day. The OEB Law Turkey Drop. 3-6. Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. Turkey Creek. Turkey Drop. How appropriate. Come pick you up a turkey. Know somebody else that needs one, especially people in need. Come pick up a turkey.
We're coming into their creek and giving away bodies. Take that, turkeys.
Ultimate flex.
I mean, huge flex.
Yep. Coming out and see the drive from 3 to 6 at Smoky Mountain Brewery. They've got $6 burgers, of course, every single Wednesday. And OEB Law can turn your wreck into a check. Just visit wreckintoacheck.com. Come get you a turkey today. Don't have to buy anything. Don't have to do anything. Just swing by, pick up a turkey. I mean, if you'd like to eat dinner, that'd be great too. We appreciate our...
or a late lunch.
Billy's shaking his head. Is this all you're going to eat today, Billy? That's it? Just pickles.
What, do you want to get like a cheeseburger with some pickles on it later?
Yeah.
No, I'll
extra
fried pickles.
Fried pickles.
It's already feeling like the banana split where it's not so bad while you're eating it, but the rest of the day you're just...
What have your punishments been so far? You've had what, 3 or 4?
Banana split, raw eggs.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of bad.
That was funny.
The mouth
guard thing.
Yeah. Which did give me blisters or sores in my mouth.
Chapped lips is not blisters, but
No. Like actual sores.
Have you ever heard people whine?
He's the worst. I thought Davey was bad. He's the worst.
These pickles are salty.
Have you had sores in your mouth? Like the ones that
never.
You get from braces?
Yeah, I mean, I had braces.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Got like the little tiny fever blisters?
I'm pretty sure they're called canker sores.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah, fever blisters on the outside.
How
you're right.
Small or
they are annoying. They are annoying.
Yeah,
they hurt.
It's true.
And then now pickles, which apparently it's the most dangerous punishment.
Your life on the line.
Yeah,
the most dangerous
punishment that we've done this year.
Are you just going to like
Reddit
threads?
The vinegar almost
year.
Ate
that was
Nate's
last year.
Esophagus.
I said this year.
He did say this year.
Electricity to the neck, pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Davey said that wasn't even that bad.
I said, no, what I said was as far as the lingering effects.
Yeah, he said he'd rather
it's more of a mental
things.
Effect.
Yeah, you at least get it out of the way. It doesn't last with you the rest of the day.
It's like a smelling
day.
Salt.
Like
you just can't kind of like, you're ready.
Like I'll be honest, like I looked up on the no-label canned food where I just got four fruits and the one bad item wasn't that bad, like. Probably the luckiest I've been at this game.
Which and you are not lucky at this game.
Yeah, I'm 2-10 on the year. So
we were talking about that yesterday.
You did win NFL Eliminator. We took you to lunch yesterday at Little Tokyo.
It was good.
It was very good. I had it for dinner.
If we had tried to rig it to where Davey would lose this much, we probably would have been like, no, not 10 out of the first 12. Maybe just 8 or 9.
Yeah, 10's like, not believable.
Like, you can't make this up. And this weekend, I mean, it's so easy. Like, surely you won't lose this weekend.
You're really setting him up, huh?
I mean, there's 32 punishments total, and I've done 10 of them. And there's still 8 left that have not been drawn. To kind of put things into perspective.
Proud of you.
Wait, have I? So, the 3 of you combined still have more than me, right?
No.
How many have you had?
3.
Nate?
That's 4, 3? Right? 3? 4?
3 or 4? And you're at 4? Okay, so one more combined. Dang. Of course, I'm wearing a suit. It's not the worst. It's not the best, but not really a punishment per se.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to some sports.
Memphis, Tennessee. No fight. Doesn't matter.
Wait, are you asking the question if the fight doesn't happen?
If the
last
fight
year?
Doesn't happen, do you even care about the game? Like, I mean, Memphis fans are blowing this up that all Tennessee's running from the rivalry. Oh,
I probably would still care about it just because, again, like it's lower on my list of games that I'm looking forward to for Tennessee this year. But
I'd say for me, it's up there.
They did
it's
have a really
there.
Good recruiting class. Like I am interested in just kind of seeing what Penny's able to do with them once they actually have to play someone of merit. Like, I mean, I think Oregon was a good game. I didn't really get to watch that. The Wiseman storyline, just, I mean, anytime you're playing the number one player in the country coming out of high school, that's going to kind of draw eyeballs to the screen. So is he able to play? How long is his suspension going to be?
Listen, I think Tennessee should play it. I think they should keep playing it. I don't know why Rick Barnes said that. Like,
he just said he doesn't think it's going to continue. I don't know that that's
like, –
people
why.
Are saying that that's his decision.
Right.
I don't know that that's necessarily
that,
the case.
But
I mean, this is two athletic departments having to come to an agreement as far as what it's going to look like. And a lot of times the coaches don't have that much say-so in it. Also, if you're Rick Barnes, you don't – need Memphis on your schedule because you've got the SEC schedule, because you're playing teams like Washington, like Kansas, like Wisconsin. Like, you've got good enough teams on your schedule that you don't need this game. To Davey's original point, Memphis needs it. They've already lost to Oregon. They got one top 25 team left on the schedule. That's Tennessee. They need that game, and they need to win it. Otherwise, their resume at the end of the year, they could, like I'm saying, they could have two losses on the year and still be like a 7 seed because they don't play anybody.
Cincinnati might creep up into the top 25 later in the year. They have
possibly,
like, yeah. It's
and I Tennessee mean, plays them too.
I mean, but if you're looking at, like, I mean, even before the season, like, I don't think a lot of Vol fans were at the point of like, yeah, I expect them to be a top 20 team like 2 weeks into the season.
Also, with what happened last year, let's say Rick Barnes is out on this. With the way Penny responded after the game last year, with what that game kind of became afterwards.
I ride with Rick Barnes.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, why would you reward Memphis and Penny Hardaway for calling your players a bunch of fight-starting thugs? I'd be like, okay, that's not what happened. And the fact that you're going on around the horn and PTI to talk about it and make it all up. Like, no, we're not going to play you. This benefits you more than it benefits us right now. We don't need the game for our schedule. You clearly do. If you're not going to at least show us the respect of being a good team that came into your house and beat you and instead going to make it about how we were ready to fight, which is, again, a lie, why would you reward Penny Hardaway in Memphis for what happened last year?
I would prefer they keep playing it. I prefer Tennessee just beat their ass every year and just rub their face in it and let Penny just cry like a little, you know what, after every game. But if Rick Barnes says, you know what, we don't need this stupid drama from Memphis. They don't matter. They cheat. Penny's always cheated at everything he's done. Forget you. We're going to play. We're big boy basketball. We're going to stay and play our SEC schedule and other teams that
you're
level.
He took money from Pete Bell.
Exactly.
Got his mom a new house and a new job.
Now he is Pete Bell. Time is
he's at least happy.
Circle.
He's so, like, happy if happy became the coach.
So, you know, if that's Rick Barnes' take on it, that's fine too. What I'd rather them keep playing it and just beat their ass, but if Rick Barnes doesn't want to, I'm fine with that also. I could really care less.
Yeah, and I get why they play the game. I mean, it makes sense. However, I would like to see Tennessee has the name now to have a home-and-home series with Villanova and Arizona and North Carolina and Ohio State and Gonzaga. Like, I would rather see games like that. And who really
well,
cares about
that? We've
Memphis.
Had that name. Like, we've done the,
well, no, I'm just
the
saying,
there
like,
and here with Gonzaga. Was it Nashville and Seattle? Is that, I mean, it wasn't home
yeah,
and home
I'm,
per
I'm
se.
I'm even saying, like, home and home.
No, I agree.
You're
I agree with you.
Now
I agree.
Where,
like,
see,
we're
Michigan State would come to Thompson Bowling. And
yeah,
play
like, we're up game. We're up there now. Like, we just, we got, we had UConn a few years back. Like, we can do this. We don't need help. And I think if it's Rick Barnes, I'm sure part of it is like, I mean, did you see the end of the Washington game? Who's Washington's coach? What's the deal there? Did he coach with Rick at some point?
I think either he was a player when Barnes was a graduate assistant, or Barnes like coached him on some type of like USA team.
Okay. Did you see the embrace
yeah.
by that? I mean, most coaches after a loss like that, they're frustrated. They just kind of shake hands and they're out of there. The guy like wrapped up Rick Barnes and gave him like a grandpa hug and they talked for quite a minute. Like, the respect that Rick Barnes has in the college basketball community is immense. Like, I've never heard anybody except one have one bad word to say about Rick Barnes. I mean, except some Texas fans that got mad that he started not winning as much. But like, when you're the only person taking shots at a guy can you really get mad at the guy when he just says, yeah, we don't really want to play you anymore. Like, you aren't my you aren't my kind of person. You aren't my kind of coach.
When you make stuff up,
that's
man,
what I'm saying.
You're just going to respect
that.
Why
would Tennessee, on what planet should we say, oh, that's funny, we get our name drug through the mud and accused of being brawlers. Yeah, let's just keep playing and rewarding this team while they get better. No.
Mike Hopkins, he played at Syracuse, and then he was a assistant with Syracuse from 1995 all the way up to 2017. He was the interim when old Jim had to sit out for a bit.
Yeah.
And he's been at Washington since 2017. So Syracuse and Washington are really the only two stops that he's had.
So he just probably knows Barnes from Syracuse, Texas matchups and coaches clinics and things like that.
I think it had something to do with USA basketball. I'm almost rather certain. Like, he might have played for Barnes in like just a special USA basketball thing back in the day. Apparently he was like one of the best players on the team because none of the like studs wanted to play or something to that extent. And like, he was joking about how he was like their go-to guy and he wasn't very good.
There's plenty of other teams Tennessee can play. Memphis.
We're already playing them.
Memphis begs for the game because it's like, well, you should play us. We're in state. We're, you know, it's good for basketball in the state of Tennessee. And that's what Penny's saying. It's competitive in our state. I wonder how many people outside of, it doesn't even matter. I wonder how many people outside the state of Tennessee even tune into the Memphis-Tennessee game and even have the thought. Like, I'm sure if you quiz them, hey, what state's Memphis in? But when they tune into the game, like, let's say an Alabama fan just turns the game on and it's Tennessee-Memphis, I doubt the thought goes through their mind, oh, these are two teams in the same state. They just go, oh, these are two good basketball teams. I'm going to watch it. Like no one cares. Like, it doesn't really – just because it's in the – like, the history is the only thing that matters. Mm. And right now
– and state lines. But, I mean, it's a very –
but that's what I mean.
It's a lengthy state. Like, we're closer to Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Virginia, Duke, North Carolina. Like, you can get to all of those campuses a lot quicker than you can get to Memphis. So it literally just is the kind of artificial state line border thing. Yeah. But that I get it that it matters. I just don't – Memphis is going to whine and complain, and Penny's trying to repair his image a little bit by, you know, oh, we want to play Tennessee. Oh, you know, no.
But after what happened last year, put a spoiler on it. Give me a break, Penny.
Like, he should have said after I overreacted to a nothing burger and said some things I shouldn't have about Rick Barnes – but he didn't do that. He never publicly apologized. He never did anything like that. So, yeah, if Tennessee and Rick Barnes don't want to play it, I don't have a problem. I would like the game to continue, but I don't need it.
Peter says the Washington coach, he thinks it's a Providence connection. Thanks for the tweet. I don't know. We'll see. We'll come back. We've got to hit a break here. It's hour two, Wednesday, SEC punishment edition of you got a lot of more pickles to eat there, Billy. Three and out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick up some Truly Hard Seltzer this week. You can find it at any grocery store, convenience store. Got you covered. Look for the Truly Hard Seltzer. Tropical pack, rosé. It's all delicious. Drink what you truly want.
Mango.
Maggie Doty tweeted and said mango's the best, too.
She knows.
A lot of mango fans out there. Apparently, you can get mango in a box on its own, but maybe not in certain areas. So, way it goes. Pick up some Truly Hard Seltzer. Tonight, Tennessee takes on Alabama State, 7 o'clock, Thompson Bowling Arena, SEC Network Plus.
Stream
where you can watch it.
7 o'clock, you said?
7 o'clock.
Okay. Last night in the SEC, just real quick, Boston University, as Roberto said, not Boston College. Boston University beat South Carolina at South Carolina 78-70. LSU got by UMBC 77-50. Ole Miss beat Seattle 65-52. Alabama back on the winning side of things over Furman 81-73. And Arkansas roasts Texas Southern 82-51. 1. Teams in action tonight, as Nate mentioned, Tennessee at 7 against Alabama State. Georgia Tech at Georgia. Interesting. Also 7 o'clock. Morehead State travels to Missouri at 8. Troy at Texas A&M at 8. Austin Peay at Vanderbilt, 8 o'clock.
I believe Chattanooga plays Florida State tonight as well, which I know is not in the SEC, which was why it was on your list. But to me, that's kind of funny because those are your next two opponents.
Scout time.
Yeah.
Apparently Wisconsin's already scouting us, at least the fan base, so we got to start scouting our next opponents too. Tonight, I think we all agreed, line's 29.5. A win should be fairly easy to come by, but what are we wanting to see from Tennessee basketball tonight?
Bench play.
I want to see Lamonte, Jordan not play much. Like,
which Jordan?
Bowden.
Jordan James?
I actually want to see Josiah Jordan James play a lot and be more aggressive. So for me, it's like I'm fine to see Pons get a lot more, you know, to still play a lot. Maybe it's just because he looks so strong. I just feel like I'm not worried about his minutes being an issue.
I'm not worried about minutes really for anybody. I just want to see other guys get minutes.
I want to see Lamonte Turner get a break.
You think he needs one?
I think he will later in the season. So these next two games, I just don't want to see him playing 38 minutes again.
Yeah, Lamonte has played 36, 39, and 39 minutes.
It's a lot. But he's in good shape. He's good.
Yeah, I want to see Lamonte hit a couple of three-point shots.
Yeah, that's for the starters, that's one thing I would like to see, is Lamonte shoot over 40% from three. Maybe give him 7 shots. He hits 3 or 4 of them. I'm going to feel pretty good about that moving forward. I'm with you, Nate. I want to see Josiah Jordan James be a little bit more aggressive.
Assert himself.
Maybe that could be part of the whispered game plan to some other guys, like, hey, let's try to get him more involved tonight. Let's let him know that this is kind of a showcase game for him. Talking about Pons and Bowden and Turner, like, hey, let's try to get 5 the ball in positions where he can score. And then I'm telling him privately too, like, hey, dominate. Like, do what you're capable of tonight. Let's see what you got. And then, as Davey said, bench play, but what I mean when I say that is I want us to go deep in the bench. Now, I want guys like Gaines, like Johnson, like Pember, Kamwa. I want all those guys to have double-digit minutes and just kind of get them familiar with the offense. Let's run some different lineups tonight. Let's see what works. Let's see what doesn't. And let's let some of these young guys roam a little bit. Let's let them play. But a lot of that is contingent on the starters. Like, come out, defensive intensity, run the offense, score baskets, get a big lead, you're going to get a break.
Yeah, I mean, these opportunities aren't – with this schedule, Tennessee has less of these opportunities than I think they normally would if they were kind of still rebuilding. I mean, you do have these two in a row, Alabama State and Chattanooga, but then there's Florida A&M.
You get 4 days off between them.
And Jacksonville State, and that's it. I mean, other than that, it's – like, I don't – expect this team to be blowing out SEC teams the way Tennessee did last year. Like, that came out – even last year's Tennessee team tapped into something that they really couldn't find later in the year when they were just
– right around the start of league play. Yeah.
Crushing SEC teams. That's not going to happen again. Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking on later on in the year, I didn't even pick up on this as I was looking at the schedule until a little bit earlier, but the last 5 games are absolutely brutal.
Yeah, that's the SEC loves to backhand us on the last tail of the schedule.
You have Auburn on the road, Arkansas on the road, Florida at home, Kentucky on the road, and then Auburn at home.
2 games against one of the teams that has looked pretty good. One game in Arkansas, maybe the team that's looked better than their expectations more than any, or, you know, outside of maybe Tennessee, and then of course Florida and Kentucky, who coming into the year were picked 1-2.
I mean, in your last 10 games, you get Kentucky twice, Arkansas twice, Auburn twice.
Yikes.
Enjoy. Yeah, your final 10 are at Alabama, Kentucky, Arkansas, at South Carolina, Vanderbilt, at Auburn, at Arkansas, Florida, at Kentucky, Auburn. That's tight.
You know, I feel like the
then you play Arkansas on 2 days rest. You play Saturday against Kentucky at home. Then you welcome Arkansas the following Tuesday. Then you get a little bit of the break there, Tuesday to Saturday for your road game at South Carolina. Then you go Saturday to Tuesday back home against Vanderbilt. A break, the extra day is what I'm talking about there. Instead of playing Wednesday, you play Tuesday before Saturday at Auburn. And then you do get the extended day there to go to Arkansas. But at Auburn and at Arkansas back-to-back, that's a lot of travel in 4 days.
Yeah, I think if you go 5-5 in that stretch, like, you're
based on right now, okay. Yeah, that's tough.
It's kind of, I feel like in the SEC, it's going to kind of be all or nothing, right? You're going to play games where you're like, we better win this one, and then then you're going to have teams where it's like, complete coin flip. Like, there's not going to be a lot of, we'll probably win, but this is a tough matchup. It's like, I feel like Arkansas is kind of the only one in that category. It's either like, no, this is one of the top teams, going to be a coin flip, or you better not screw this up. Got to get a win here. I watched a little bit of the South Carolina game last night. Like, they're terrible, really. I mean, you should handle them. I've been watching a little bit of Alabama because they've been so bad.
They're bad.
They inadvertently, Nate Oates is their new coach. He inadvertently got a technical last night in the second half that I feel like helped them win the basketball game. Like,
really?
He didn't plan on getting it because he lost his mind when he got the tech. Like, basically, there was a call. He kind of started arguing about it a little bit as the ref ran by.
And they
then the ref stopped the game, turned around, and really demonstratively just nailed him with one, and he lost it. Like, he went crazy. He obviously didn't want to get one right there, but it almost seemed like it woke up Alabama. I mean, at that point, it was a pretty close basketball game, and they went on to win after that. They actually kind of they still have that kid that hit all the threes against us last year. Is it Penny or Perry?
Perry.
Yeah,
Perry.
They still have him. Like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, how is this team so bad? But they're terrible.
You hate to see it. Very sad.
I mean, there's going to be games where you just, like, Vanderbilt, really, really bad. But then, like you guys mentioned, that those teams at the end, Auburn, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, those will be tough.
Yeah, the teams you get once, Bama, A&M, Mississippi State. I haven't even seen a score from one of their games this year. LSU, you only get once. You do get them at home, though.
Mississippi State's pretty good.
And Florida.
Mississippi State's pretty good. Getting South Carolina twice and Vanderbilt twice, clutch.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Arkansas twice, Auburn twice, not so much.
Right. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's a Basketball Game Day edition brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. And if you use the app, you can even check your credit score
for free.
For free. And it doesn't ding your credit either. I saw a tweet by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union yesterday kind of pointing out the differences between a hard credit check and a soft credit check, meaning you can check it without it, you know, lowering your credit score than if you're, you know, applying for some big mortgage or something where they actually have to kind of run that final one and it kind of can check mess with your score if it's getting checked often. But it's a great feature. It's absolutely free if you use the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union app, and it's just another way that they try and help their members grow financially. Moving upward and forward, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Welcome back to 3 and Out SEC Punishment Edition of the program. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com. You can make an appointment right there on the website. Creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time. It's Doctors Costa and Malone, experts in diagnosis and treatment of complex dental problems, in addition to general care, of course. So for general dentistry, implant surgery, restorative treatment as well, check out KnoxvilleSmiles.com. We even got a whole section for new patients right there on the website. It's KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Good people over there.
Yeah?
Used to be my dentist.
Used to be.
Yeah. It was when Obama said...
He quit going to the dentist.
It was when Obama said, "You can, if you like your health care, you can keep your health care thing." It wasn't true.
Oh, it wasn't true?
No.
Oh, I never, hadn't heard anything about that.
So I couldn't be my dentist anymore. Oh. Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Appreciate it.
But if they do cover your
they're in your
insurance,
plan.
Yeah, yeah. Good people.
Yeah, there you go.
Really,
that was
it.
Even before you were part of the station. This is an unplanned plug.
I've been wanting to say it for a while just because I did enjoy my time there. I enjoyed my time at the dentist. Who says that?
Exactly.
Not Davey. Warheads gave him an exposed nerve, which has since been proven completely false by dentists.
It's not exactly true.
Two out of two dentists say that that can't happen.
The question.
Two out of two dentists call complete bull bleep.
The questions weren't phrased the way I wanted them to be phrased to the dentist. It was like, oh, can you get a tap?
I sent the second one
verbatim.
Exactly as you mentioned it. You dictated it to me.
It was more of like the 9 out of 10 dentists like recommend this toothpaste. It was kind of like I didn't – that one – or I think it was 4 out of 5. So that one could have been in my camp. We just don't know. We haven't gotten a full consensus.
Well, 1 out of 5 ain't bad. Jeez.
We have two recruiting questions, one on basketball and one on football.
Okay.
In terms of basketball, Houston Crest Fan Club says, any update on Santiago Vescovi? Think he'll commit today?
Is that the rumor?
I got nothing.
Hmm. No crystal ball predictions at this time. 6'2", 175, Uruguay.
Davey, please turn your mic off when you
chew the pickle. That's not part of the show. Davey, turn the mic off, or at least move it when you're chewing the pickles. Thank you. Appreciate that, champ. There are two warm teams on his list. Temple, he visited October 9th. And, of course, Tennessee, who he visits today. I'd say there's at least a chance. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Philly that tipped us off. He could be a midterm enrollee eligible after the start of the spring semester. How did that work when was it just after the fall semester he was eligible?
His first game was in January.
Against Kentucky, I recall. So that would be the start of the spring semester. School starts, and boom, he's eligible.
They've said that even if he enrolls in January, he might still redshirt.
Interesting.
So, but I guess that would give him extra practice time.
If he played,
get him up to speed.
Yeah, if he played, his first game would be LSU on January the 4th, potentially.
Huh.
I guess we'll see where we are with guard play and make that decision.
You know the football redshirt rules changed. Did the basketball change?
I don't know. I don't even know what they are.
Can you play in that X amount of basketball games at any point in the season?
That's a really good question. I am not familiar with
the...
It
hit me earlier today. I was like, I have no idea.
Is it the 33% rule?
You just mentioned, like, Drew Pember, and I was like, he's only played in, what, one game so far?
I
was
like, no, I think it was the exhibition. So, technically, I don't think that game counted.
I thought he played in one.
He played in one after the exhibition.
Oh, yeah, he got, like, 2 minutes, right?
But I hadn't heard that they want to redshirt him. It just made me think if a guy got...
I thought he played a little Murray State.
If something happened, or you know, can you redistribute your games for? It'd be really weird to have a guy come in for some SEC games late in the year and still redshirt.
Like six men, like Jared Garantano. Hmm. Like, hey, we're playing this one. We're going to sit you in these ones. You're going to be good to go. Won't need you against South Carolina. Won't need you against Vanderbilt, LSU, Kentucky, Auburn, Arkansas. Yeah, come on, hit a couple threes for us.
Especially if it's like football and you could play in a third of the season. Imagine not using somebody for all the non-conference games that you're definitely going to win and only picking and choosing.
He's from Australia, but has a Uruguay jersey on.
Ah,
in
yeah,
his,
that's confusing.
He is, he's played at NBA Academy Latin America High School. That's right. NBA Academy Latin America High School and NBA Global Academy High School. Those feel a little non-high schoolish to me.
Yeah.
Like IMG.
Well, he ain't coming here to play school.
He's got to pass his classes, Davey. Wonder what they teach at those schools. Maybe it's just basics. I don't know. Weird. I mean, if you think he can help you this year, sure, why not? And you are going to obviously lose Turner. You're going to lose Bowden next year.
Well, even you've got you next year. Yeah,
bring no, that's what I'm saying. You've got Bailey coming in next year. I think we all agree Bailey's going to be pretty good. We'll see how Jalen Johnson develops this year. You're going to have some really talented freshmen coming in next year that can play point guard, shooting guard. But, yeah, bodies, let's go. You get Plavšić back, we think.
Yeah,
I don't know. No one seems to know on that one.
I don't think college basketball has any unique redshirt rule.
But what is the rule?
College football does. I think if you just play in a single game, you can't redshirt.
No. You're kidding.
Unless it's medically.
He did roll the ankle.
There you go.
Just saying.
I mean, I guess it's just because guys typically don't, like, I mean, you can go to the NBA after 1 year. It's not as, like, with football, you know, it's a whole thing. You got to stay 3 years, that whole deal. I don't know. And I feel like basketball is not as developmental. Like, typically, you can identify who's probably going to be an NBA guy the first day they're on campus and who's probably not.
Billy's right, though. Per NCAA rules, stepping onto the court even once in a game burns the red shirt and costs you an entire season of eligibility. Because the article I'm reading is basically touting the new football rule and saying how beneficial could that be to basketball when you could play some of these guys in games early in the year and then still have the option to redshirt them.
Could have helped Kyle Alexander a couple years ago.
Definitely. Definitely.
Could have had him on the roster this year.
Well, I think it would be good for rebuilding teams. I think Tennessee's at the point where now, though, where it doesn't even matter. Like, you want these guys to get on the court, play for a while, a couple years, three, four, whatever, depending on how good they are, and get them out of here because the next crew's coming in. It's reloading. I mean, the level of kids they're in on and already signed for next year.
Feels good. But, man, like I said, I mean, if he can play point, if he can come in during kind of the Christmas break and learn some stuff, it might be not. You're talking about getting Lamonte rest on the back half of the season. There, if he's as good as some people say he is, I mean, I know he's only ranked a 3-star. He feels a lot like Kamwa, like he just kind of gets discovered late, and all of a sudden everyone's like, yeah, he's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. But, yeah, visiting today, we'll see if Tennessee can get a commitment. That would be that'd be an interesting side note to the start of the season as far as do we have a guy available around. I mean, just for bodies, you would think, obviously you don't have Bailey, you don't have Plavšić yet, maybe ever. Just number of guys you can get into a game, it might be nice if you could get this guy eligible and go ahead and start playing him at the start of the next semester.
But I guess about a week and a half ago, I gave these stats for Santiago in a six-team G League international challenge that the NBA put on. In four games, he averaged 12.5 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 steals, while shooting 53.8% from 3.
He fit right in. We love to shoot the 3 at a high clip.
There you go.
Apparently, he's a really good point guard that sees the floor really well.
Who doesn't need those guys?
It feels good to be so positive with basketball. It's just all right there, undefeated.
What was the other recruiting question?
We'll get to that next. Football recruiting question. Also have kind of what happened to yesterday's football practice. We'll get into that a little bit. As you got a big football game this weekend, too, against Missouri. Stick with us. Final segment. Hour number two next. Final segment, hour number two. Going to get into some Tennessee football. Want to remind you, watch party, Elkmont Exchange, Saturday, Tennessee, Missouri, 7:30 kickoff. Be there to watch the Vols take on the Tigers. We kind of said this at one point in the middle of the season after the Alabama game. It's like every game this year will now be the most important game when it hits the schedule. And I know people say that a lot because a lot of times it's true, but it was going to be true regardless of the results as you went through. And now this one is obviously the next one on the schedule and the most important. As you've won these games, it's now allowing you to kind of save your season, go to a bowl game, possibly even get to 7-5. You win both these last two games, and it'll be a massive matchup road game against a team you've struggled with in the past, but a team that you've recruited better than as well. And you can come watch it at Elkmont Exchange on Saturday, 745 North Broadway in Knoxville. That's 745 North Broadway. It's Elkmont Exchange. They've got food. They've got drinks. We had a great time out there last weekend or 2 weekends ago watching Tennessee come back and beat Kentucky. So good vibes in the room there at Elkmont Exchange. Who's going to start at quarterback? Obviously been one of the big questions. Yesterday when the media saw practice, it was Jerry Garantano taking the first reps with the 11-on-11 as all the media got kind of shooed away. I always like how media members will kind of
peek over the shoulder as they're getting ushered out.
Include that in their practice reports. Brian Maurer did go first in the individual drills, though, when the media was out there. So I thought that was kind of funny.
So now we know nothing. Great.
Well, you know, Pruitt said they got to narrow it down from 3 to 2, so I think we're down to 2.
Yeah, we know.
Henry Toto, Daniel Batuli both looked fine, went through the work and stuff. They have been a little nicked up. Darnell Wright did have tape on his left ankle.
Naturally.
But he was out there with the first team offensive line that was Wanya Morris, Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, and Jerome Carvin was at the guard spot.
Interesting.
And then Ryan Johnson and Kayron Calvert also worked some with the first group on the offensive line. So, you know, Pruitt said we're as healthy as we've been in a long time. So that seems good. They were in pads yesterday, which they haven't been in pads on Tuesdays a lot of the weeks after the first couple.
Guess the week off, you want to make sure they remember how to put them on.
I mean, that's pretty good from an injury standpoint.
Yeah, I'd say you're pretty healthy if you're willing to put the guys in full pads.
So all that's some good stuff. Captain Touchback said, hey, you know, we're only a month away from the early signing period. Like, what are you guys hearing about recruiting? The answer? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, I don't there's just not a lot of buzz.
Maybe this is going to be the year that we do what we've wanted this staff to do, which is signing day explosion.
I hope so. Because it's the recruiting guys always say, like, one win, one loss, it never impacts stuff. It always is kind of a, you know, a build over time, and you see kind of the results matter in kind of some form of lag after the fact. And I'm hoping that, you know, Georgia State and BYU, that's not, I mean, it's definitely impacted you negatively on some level. I just hope it doesn't kind of ruin the chance to have a good class.
I have a recruiting update.
You do?
I can't pull up his profile, but Tyler Barron announced that he'll be committing on December the 18th, which is one of the days for National Signing Day. Early signing period.
Yeah, he's the number 4 strong side defensive end in the country and the number 4 highest rated recruit in Tennessee.
Plays at Catholic, correct?
Yep.
Local tie. We always talk about you can't have the good ones in this area. Get out of the way. Go elsewhere. We've seen that under Butch's time, you lost all your guys that you had in your own backyard.
Yep.
Well, and it was kind of trending that you were going to sign Jay Hardy and Tyler Barron, of course.
They do have Cooper Mays. He's already committed. He's a teammate of Tyler Barron, also a Catholic guy. So hopefully you're able to – I mean, are there any other guys in the area they're kind of in on, like in the greater Knoxville market?
I'm not sure on the greater Knoxville question.
I had a buddy saying T. Hodge on Friday looked amazing, so there's that.
That's good.
Out at Maryville.
Looks course. Like they're trying to set up a pretty big visitor weekend for November 30th, the Vanderbilt game. Mm-hmm. Currently, five players scheduled to visit, all three stars. Athlete Raymond Henderson from Bakersfield, California. Weak side defensive end Morvin Joseph from Lakeland, Florida. Reginald Perry, defensive tackle, Fairfield, Alabama. Javon Banks, strong side defensive end, Olive Branch, Mississippi. And Vi Kaho from Reno, Nevada. He's currently committed to Nevada. Morvin Joseph, currently committed to Florida State. And Javon Banks, currently committed to Mississippi State.
It's also Thanksgiving weekend, so you might be able to have people be able to kind of get here that normally wouldn't because of school and other things.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else in town that's. I was looking at the in-state list for Tennessee, and it's pretty much either the guys we've already talked about in-state that they're, you know, either deciding on or whatever. It's the Reggie Grimes thing still really weird. Top player in the state, a lot of fans have said like you watch him play and doesn't jump out, which seems weird since he's number one in the state. You know, you mentioned it. Like, he's an Alabama legacy, but they're...
Apparently, he's not a take for them right now.
Not a take at the moment.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of strange. The second best player in the state, according to the composite, is Keyshawn Lawrence, who Tennessee already has committed, the safety out of Innsworth. And then there's Amari Thomas out of Memphis, whose crystal ball right now is 100% to Ole Miss. He's a defensive tackle, big 6'5", 300-pounder.
Apparently, Grimes is set to announce next week... And a little birdie tells me he's going to go to South Carolina. Patrick tweets in, says the losses to Georgia State and BYU really killed any recruiting momentum. Going to be a mediocre recruiting class. I feel like I've said that going into the signing period every time, and they still somehow have done okay.
Yeah.
They've got some big enough names out there that there's a chance they could salvage it, but they're going to kind of have to go, you know, 7-for-7 down the stretch to make this thing look like what we all kind of want it to look like.
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number 3 of the program next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.